So we've been talking to you about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the initial physical evidence, which is, of course, speaking in tongues. We've talked to you about the gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in those gifts. We've talked to you about being a Holy Ghost person. Say, I'm a Holy Ghost person.
I'm a Holy Ghost person.
Said, I am a Holy Ghost person. And how many enjoyed the masterful job of Pastor Tim did last week in the ministry? So important that you understand these things. But having received for yourself, having accepted for yourself, is only one half of the coin. Becoming a person that helps other people receive is the other side of the coin.
Amen.
Now, there are a lot of Christians in the body of Christ throughout the Western church. They don't have either side of the coin. They're saved, but they're not personally receiving these things. And in not receiving these things, they are not an outlet or a channel to help somebody else receive. And that's ultimately the heart of God. Some folks will say, well, you know, what are the qualifications for somebody to receive? If I'm going to help them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what qualifications are there? So I understand when I'm dealing with somebody, first of all, they must be born again. Shout that out. They must be born again. Clearly from Scripture, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for those who have experienced the new birth. Number two, they must be thirsty. Say thirsty.
Thirsty.
You know, you're not going to help somebody receive the Holy Ghost if they're not born again. I've tried that. Didn't work. Don't waste your time, amen. And they have to be thirsty. If they don't want more, all your good counsel and all the Scripture reading is not going to help them. You cannot give somebody a thirst for more. They have to have it. Jesus is the one that said on the last and greatest day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And as the Scriptures have said, what will happen is rivers of living water shall flow from within him. And John parenthetically says, this spake he concerning the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Well, good news. He has been glorified. He's been raised from the dead. He has sent forth the Holy Ghost. And now we're in that day. Come on, shout it out. We're in the day of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But you got a thirst. So it's not just you now. We're not just talking about you. We're talking about people that you come in contact with, family and friends and coworkers, even people on the streets that are thirsty. That's required if they're going to receive this. Number three, they must ask. The Scripture says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost the same way that you got saved. By faith, you ask. And then, of course, number four, they must receive. Only that person can tell if they're really in a receiving mode or not. How many glad that, you got born again? And how many glad that you were thirsty? And how many glad that you were hungry for the things of God?
Yes.
And how many glad that you asked?
Yes.
And how many glad that you received?
Yes.
And you'll never be the same.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, God's about to unleash something in this land that this land has never seen before. An army of Spirit-filled believers, tongue talkers, word people from every background, every faith, every denomination. They're just tired of business as usual. They want to see not just words, but a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And that goes together. So you that have been defamed, you that have been made fun of, you that have been marginalized, you that have been set aside, your day is coming.
Amen.
And some of those same people will come to you now with hungry hearts. Now I understand what's going on. He's raising up an army, and this church is part of that division.
Yes, it is.
Amen? We're part of that regiment. There are some myths, though, when it comes to sharing, or what we used to say, ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to others. It means the same thing. I'm sharing something that I have with somebody else. The first myth is that getting others baptized in the Holy Ghost is in itself a spiritual gift. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that people who lay hands on others and they receive the Holy Ghost, that they have a spiritual gift to do so. There's no such thing as a spiritual gift of sharing the Holy Ghost with others. The mental model in the modern church is completely erroneous and wrong. The average believer sits back, spirit-filled, enjoying their walk with God, but relegating this to somebody else because somehow they think, I don't have that gift. There is no gift of helping somebody else receive the Holy Ghost. Just like there is no gift for somebody to witness. It's a command of God. The body of Christ, by and large, you know, for years has sat back not sharing their faith because I don't have that gift. You're right, you don't. It's a command. There are people who are God called evangelists who equip us to do the very work of evangelism, but there is no gift of evangelism, and likewise, there is no gift of getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. The responsibility for both of those things is the responsibility of every born-again, spirit-filled believer. If you don't believe that, look at people like Philip, who started out serving tables and serving as a deacon. And he goes out after the persecution into Samaria, and great revival breaks out. Healings, deliverances, amen, supernatural people set free from the devil's power. Multitudes saved at the hands of somebody who basically was just a disciple, who became a deacon, who became a powerful evangelist in the things of God. But he started out doing what? Just being faithful to his God. Say it with me, it is a myth to believe only certain special gifted people can help others receive the Holy Ghost. That mental model is so entrenched in people's thinking that in the natural, it would take me months to break through it. But I'm not taking months to break through it. I'm taking today to break through it. You're walking out of here with a different mindset. I was born again exactly just a few days when I started laying hands on other people.
That's right.
I didn't know any better.
That's right.
How many know you're not pickled in religion? Just you don't know any better. You just go out and, hey, I received this and I thought it was cool. You might like it too. That began my journey in the spirit-filled world. You know, it's like there was no gift deposited on my life. That's a fallacy. And in some phrases, it's really just an excuse. Not my thing. Another myth is getting others baptized in the Holy Spirit is reserved for people like apostles. Now lean in because this is really deep. No man or woman born again just a few days and spirit-filled just a few days qualifies even as a deacon, let alone a pastor, evangelist, or apostle.
That's right.
It's a fallacy. Philip at that time used in miracles, not because he was an apostle at that time. And we'll talk about a man named Ananias later today. It was nothing more than a disciple. These two myths have kept a lot of Christians from engaging in this ministry. Say, engaging in this ministry. I remember a time when Stevie G was over by Dairy Queen and laid hands on a man who became very, very prominent in this community in terms of leadership. Right there at the Dairy Queen. At the Dairy Queen. Prayed for this man to receive the Holy Ghost, and his dignified Baptist self right there broke out in tongues right in front of the ice cream shop. You want to know why? Because you didn't have a mental model that is a gift or you have to be an apostle to do this. It's not about God's will. He's not holding down on us. We believe lies, and then it lies and it stops us from doing what we're called to do. There's not a person in this room, if you're born again and spirit-filled, that God can't and won't use you to share the baptism with other people. Amen? Religion for years has said if you're not a priest or a pastor or ordained, you can't baptize people in water. It's nothing but religion. And that's bled over into the charismatic world where you can't get people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who you are. You're a child of God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? How do you know that if one person had COVID and coughed in your face and you got COVID, you got it from them? Most likely?
Yeah.
How do you know if you have mumps, you don't give somebody the measles?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And when you're spirit filled, guess what you spread? Spirit. You spread the baptism. You spread the Holy Ghost. Smile at somebody and tell them, you're infected. Except this gives life. It doesn't take life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the myths have kept a lot of people out of this ministry. And I just felt impressed. Yeah, talk about the gifts and talk about the baptism, about us receiving it. But God wants to raise up an army right here at Hope Harbor Church who are bold enough to go out and tell other people about this. And listen carefully. It doesn't make any difference what denomination they are. You just simply ask them, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? Yes, you're a believer. They try to come back at you, religion, come back with the word of God. So I'm just trying to share something powerful that happened to me, and I'm not going to keep it to myself.
That's right.
But a lot of times we do because we think it's for special gifted people or it's for officers, anointed people in the church like apostles. And that's just not true. A believer can lead another person to Christ. A believer can lead somebody else to the baptism. Amen. A believer, a disciple can. That's the model in the scripture. Amen. So sometimes you do need to preach things a long time. This is not one of those times. I'm telling you, there's a supernatural anointing here today to break through the tradition and the religion and encourage you to step out and be used by God. There are things that hinder others from receiving the Holy Spirit, and you need to be aware of these as you're ministering to people. Things like religious tradition, for example, that we got saved, we got all the Holy Ghost, there is. That's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture does teach, just like in John 20, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Ghost, but the reception of the Holy Spirit into your life is not the same thing as the immersion in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul could say to the Ephesian believers, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? We hadn't even heard there was a Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And of course, that he ministered to them. Number one, another one is doubt. You just, in the back of your mind, you just, well, you know, it won't happen for me, or somehow this is not true, or somehow all the teaching you had before has kind of clouded your thinking and your believing. Number three is flat out unbelief. You just choose not to believe that this is either for today or that it's real. Look at somebody and say, it's real and it's for today. It'll change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I remember about 2 days after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was driving back past the university in Carbondale, Illinois, and I hit a rabbit in the road. I pulled over and got into the middle of the road, and it was dead. I didn't care. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I sat there in the middle of the road trying to raise that rabbit from the dead.
Amen.
I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're from Western Kentucky and different parts of rural America. You're thinking about cooking that thing, not raising it from the dead. Rabbits do. And I thought, well, you know, that didn't work out very well. And I heard the Lord just say to my heart after that, he goes, you know what? I'm pleased that you would step out in faith and even try to raise that rabbit from the dead. But I'll tell you something else. When my mom's dog, Jekyll, was filled with cancer, my sister and I laid hands on that dog. And that dog lived years later, free and delivered from cancer. Does God do stuff like that? According to your faith be it unto you. Any created thing can be impacted with faith.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You can talk to storms.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus talked to trees.
Yes,
amen. Yes. But guess who's most likely to be crazy enough and stupid enough to talk to a mountain or talk to a tornado? You. Spirit-filled people. Not that they can't if they're not, you know, but the boldness comes with receiving that. A big one is fear. In the back of their mind, some of them are even taught, oh, be careful with that stuff. You ask for the Holy Spirit, you just might end up with a demon. Now, that's one of the dumbest things that's ever been taught in the history of mankind. I'm going to go to my Father, ask for the Holy Spirit, and then he's going to allow a demon to come in. In fact, he preempted that by saying in Matthew 7, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you, those who ask him? Ask him. The Luke version specifically says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Another one is pride. I've got it all. Have need of nothing. Some point in time, we need to ask ourselves, and you'll deal with people this way that think, hey, they're saved, they're going to heaven, what's the point? You have to ask yourself a question, why resist it? What's the worst thing that can happen to you if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and start operating in the gifts? What's going on there? Is it a spirit of fear, uncertainty? Is God going to make you do something weird? You've been doing weird things long before you got the Holy Ghost. Don't blame it on the Holy Ghost. I mean, somebody asked me one time after I was pastoring 20 years, what have you learned about people? People are strange. All of us. Yes, amen.
Amen.
What's the deal? Ask yourself that question. And when you deal with people, why would you be opposed to what the Father calls a gift?
Amen.
We had Andrew's birthday party yesterday, and that boy scored some gifts. I'm telling you what, he was up to his ears in presents and gifts. Turns two today. Praise God. You know what I noticed? He didn't give one gift back. He didn't refuse one. Of course, you know he wouldn't refuse mine. I did find a wonderful plush dinosaur. He loves dinosaurs. You know, like any other kind of stuffed animal kind of thing. And I just thought it was really cool. It was a cool color, and it was a dinosaur. And he picked it up out of the bag and then threw it aside. I'm not hurt at all. But my bottom line here is that, when you have faith as a child, you're not trying to give God every reason why you shouldn't have this. You want everything you can get.
Right.
Come on, say it. I want everything he has for me. There's a lot of people out there that you'll have to help navigate with this because they've either not been taught these things, they've been taught against these things, they've been taught this is of the devil, these things have passed away, the secessionists will tell you God did it for a while, but there's no need for it now. No need for it now. This world is nuts. We don't need less people talking to storms. We need more people talking to storms. Amen. Pride. Another one is indifference. Yeah. You don't care about those spiritual things? Well, nobody can make you do it. That ties back to the concept of thirst and the hungry, wanting more from God in your life. And then another one is what I call group confusion. You've probably seen this, and somebody's trying to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to somebody else, and somebody else joins them and says, hang on. Another one says, turn loose. One says, praise God. One says, shut up. Another one says, give glory to God. Say, hallelujah. And on it goes. You got five people saying five different things to a person who's trying to receive. It doesn't work. If there are other people around besides you, they should what? Remain quiet as you lead them and coach them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It breeds an awful lot of confusion when a lot of church folks are giving contradictory messages. You mean well, but that kind of group confusion actually does more harm than good.
Yeah.
And that same person may never ask you again to pray for them.
That's a good word.
Yes.
Amen. So when somebody's leading someone and ask you to pray in the Holy Ghost or ask you to do something, then join in there by faith. But be careful because it just might cost that person their own future spiritually because of confusion. How many know God's not the author of confusion? But of peace, isn't he, church? So here's some principles for sharing the Holy Spirit with others. First of all, number one, be filled. What does that mean? It means that you need to be filled and be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 4, they received a fresh dose. After a massive dose of persecution and trouble, they got more of the Spirit. That's the solution for all of us if we're in trouble. More of God's Spirit is what you need when you find yourself in trouble. He said this in Ephesians chapter 5, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be being filled constantly with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make melody or music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do this, and what's going to happen is you're going to literally fan into flame that gift on the inside of you in terms of your experience, and you're going to be being filled, constantly be filled. Amen. Praise and thanksgiving and honor to God. It keeps things stirred up. And of course, praying in the Holy Ghost. Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying. Let somebody else pray in the Holy Ghost. No, it's for us to do as well. My point is, there's not a single case in Scripture. There's not a single case in the early church. And I've never personally heard of a case or pastored a case where someone who did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit led somebody into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to share this, you're going to flip the coin and share it with somebody else, you're going to have to be what? Not just filled, but filled to overflowing. Not just I was filled back in 1920 or 50 or 80 or whatever the case may be, or last week, but staying filled, staying on the active, amen. Completely doused and immersed. And if you want to be drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Yeah, there are always going to be skeptics out there. You're going to see people respond differently to this. And some will resist these things. But don't you ever dumb down your personal experience because somebody else won't receive something. Another story that my sister tells of one of her ladies that she'd been ministered to, just on fire for God, but the husband was constantly negative about the things of God, making fun of them. Let me say it again. If you don't understand something about the Holy Ghost, you better just shut up. And this particular individual would make fun of it. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. And then one time, she finally got him to come to church. And you know what happened? He got a dose of the Holy Ghost. They literally had to carry him out of the service and put him into his vehicle. And she drove home. They got home and he couldn't get out of the vehicle. He stumbles out, he's on the ground. He can't get to the house. And he says, help me get in the house. And she said, no, you did this to yourself. You get it in your own way. That's the grace and mercy of God, church. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's nothing wrong with you. You just need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So be filled. People that reject the baptism also reject being used by God to get others baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, it's never just about you. What are you costing other people because you resist these things? What are you costing your family? What are you costing your kids? What are you costing your grandkids? What are you costing your downline? Because you're just, for whatever reason, not open to these things and you're not actively involved in sharing these things. This nation has never needed the Spirit-filled Christian more. This world has never needed the Spirit-filled Christian more. And that's not going to happen. You know, we're going to wait for the guy to come through as an evangelist and praise God that he ministers to people. You're going to wait for the pastor to preach on it? Listen, none of us in the ministry have enough time or access to do what God's getting ready to do. He's going to need people to flip the coin. Look at somebody say, flip the coin and get involved in ministering, in sharing the Holy Ghost with others. Number two, be ready. Pray it up in the Spirit. Tuned into the signals of the Holy Spirit. Ready, instant, in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. The way you stay ready is constantly be filled with the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost so that when that opportunity is there, You don't have to go say, well, wait here, I need to go pray about 15 hours so that my faith rises and I can help it. You need to be on the active ready wherever you go. Does that make sense? Can people be baptized in the Holy Ghost at Walmart? Can anything good come out of Walmart? We've already differentiated and spoke of the fact that they can get baptized in the Holy Ghost in front of Dairy Queen. So your paradigm is you come to church, evangelist comes in, people get prayed for, praise the Lord, pastor does it. There's the emphasis and all of a sudden people get baptized. No, the emphasis and what the Spirit of God is saying is he's trying to reach people where they are. And the people where you work and the people where you play and the people in your family, they may never darken the door of a charismatic or Pentecostal church. So here's the thought. Take the charismatic church to them. Amen. Say it with me. Be filled. Be ready. Number three, be motivated. Look for opportunities to share with other believers. Some people in this town are religious and not saved, but there are a lot of people who are saved that have never actually stepped into this realm. And you should be asking them lovingly, respectfully, not arrogantly, but with humility, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you can give your own testimony so they understand we're not talking about the salvation experience here. We're talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Be motivated to share. And be motivated to do it with a right heart. This is not a power that you earn or you buy. The sorcerer found that out in Acts chapter 8. Listen to the scripture. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were specifically sent to do what? To get believers baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's how important this is. They were formally commissioned to make sure that the fruit of that revival, they received the Holy Ghost. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now he's wrong about his heart. But he's right about the mechanism. They come in here and lay hands on people and they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We know from the context that something physical happened, something auditory happened because he could tell they had received. But it's not about you looking good or you having power. It's about you being used by God to help other people come into this. The heart has to be right. We need to be motivated. It's great that he wanted to do it, but he wanted to do it for the wrong reason. Can I have an amen? It's not about our glory. It's not about what we do. It's not about look at us. It's about God being glorified through us. But the fact remains, they were sent and they modeled in front of him. And he said to himself, look, lay hands on people. This is a wonderful thing. And they get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? The same thing that happened back then happens today all over the world. And God wants you to be a part of that. But you have to be motivated. I promise you, there are dozens of people in your immediate circle. Some of them obviously love God, but they've never received. Well, Pastor, what if they say no? Then they say no, but at least you gave them an opportunity. My sister came home from Houston, Texas, and shared with me what happened to her and asked me if I wanted to be filled, and I didn't say no. I said yes. It absolutely transformed my life. By not sharing this, we are keeping people from having the full transformation God wants to give them. We can't take this wonderful thing and then keep it to ourselves. Can I have a big amen today? Amen. I say, can I have a big amen today? Amen. He's looking for people who have flipped the coin. Come on, shout it out. Flip that coin. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit, but then help other people. TikTok. I'm not a weatherman. I'm not an end times expert. I don't profess to be an expert on Daniel or Revelation or the apocalyptic literature, but you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out something going on in this world right now. TikTok. I'm not talking about the app. I'm talking about the clock. is winding down. And what we do, we need to do quickly. And there aren't enough full-time equipping ministers in the world to get this done. God is wanting to deputize everybody in this room. Enjoy their spirit-filled life, but then lead other people. It's time for the mental models to come down, the paradigms that have kept you from being involved, the lies that have kept you from being involved, and watch God use you. Say it, be filled, be ready, be motivated. Number four, be available. Make yourself a vessel the Holy Spirit can use. Ask Him to use you. Walk out the door and say, Lord, lead me to another one. Lead me to another one. Show me somebody else. Lord, they love you, but they're not walking in the power. Lord, show me. Reveal to me. Scripture says, we'll read this from Acts chapter 19, just a portion of this. While Apollos, verse 1, was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. How many can relate to this scripture? Amen. That was me. Many of you the same way. They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, what happened? When they placed their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Do you know what happened to those 12? Ephesus began to be the largest church in the early church history. Rick Renner believes there were hundreds of thousands of people a part of that church. Thank God he opened his mouth when he found some disciples that were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes. There's no telling what God will do with the people that you minister to.
That's right.
I wonder what great thing will happen because you just obey God and shared the good thing that's on the inside of you. You have to be available. You say, well, you know, I don't know about all this stuff. Well, you're not the Savior, right? You're not the baptizer.
That's right.
You're not the healer. You're not the deliverer. You're just the vessel. But God has ordained that the most often used mechanism for people being baptized in the Holy Ghost in the Scripture is the mechanism of the laying on of hands. You lay your hands on in faith and the Holy Ghost comes on them. It's supernatural. Amen. Number five, be obedient. Step out and minister the baptism to others despite any intimidation or fear that you might have. Don't be moved by your emotions. Don't be moved by what other people think and feel. Be moved only by the unction of the Spirit of God in your life. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. There are going to be times where it may not be convenient to you. Well, you know, if I don't take the time to share with them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, somebody else will come up and do it. That is wrong-headed on so many levels. You may be it. Few people in this nation, as Christian as it has been so called, and we're now a post-Christian nation in terms of where the stats are, but few people ever say, I had XYZ, I had this number of personal witnesses before I got saved. I can remember the couple that I had. Most people, they can't remember that people even did that. And if they wouldn't even do that, they're not going to share the baptism either. Are you here?
Amen.
We can wait for a revival and have altars full of people, you know, that's great. But what about the rest of the days of the week and the rest of the years?
Right.
Amen. Listen to the scripture in Acts chapter 9. Because this is what God is calling everybody in this room to receive and to accept. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, say it. I'm a Holy Ghost person. And I'm not ashamed. It's part of the gospel. Verse 1, in Damascus, there was a disciple. It doesn't say apostle. It doesn't say pastor. It doesn't say evangelist. It doesn't say Sunday school superintendent. It says a disciple. Shout it out. A disciple. Named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying in a vision. He has seen in a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority or letters from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. I mean, the Lord's not impressed with our excuses. I mean, the Lord probably knew that Saul was a murderer. I mean, the Lord knew who you were, but he called you. Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show you how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say,
thank God
for the Holy Ghost. So you say, was Paul a tongue talker? According to the writings of 1 Corinthians 1:14, he what? He would speak in tongues more than everyone else. Obviously, he was a practitioner and a recipient of this. Amen. And how many know he went on to help the Ephesians, so he didn't keep it to himself. But watch this. That name, Ananias, means to be gracious and to show favor. God is calling people today to accept an Ananias anointing in this church. The Holy Spirit is our helper. When we allow Him to use us, we help others by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit is the helper. When we share the Holy Spirit with others, we're helping. He's still helping, but He's doing it through us. He helps restore to God what was lost. People that have lost their way. He helps God bring healing to those that are afflicted, just like Saul. My personal testimony is I was sick 2 years solid before I received the Holy Ghost. That thing has never come on me again. Everybody, thank God. That shouldn't surprise us if the Holy Ghost can empower us. He certainly can cause healing to manifest. The ministry of the Holy Spirit helps God's people get filled with the Holy Spirit and helps raise people up for God's service and glory. All of us. He's looking for some Ananias people. You may never have a vision, but you have a standing order to take what you've been given and share it with somebody else. Say, Ananias, bestowing favor on people by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, there are a few mechanics just to encourage you here. You don't need to know much. Look at somebody and smile and say, I don't need a PhD in the Holy Ghost. And if you did, you probably wouldn't even believe anymore. You know what BS stands for? You know what MS stands for? More of the same. You know what PhD stands for? Piled higher and deeper. What you need is revelation.
That's right.
four key principles here when you're helping somebody receive the Holy Ghost. These may have been followed when you received yourself, but that's irrelevant. This is designed to help you help somebody else. First of all, you need to affirm their salvation. Are you right with the Lord? Have you given your life to Christ? And I tell you, what I found out, when they used to get hungry for the things of God and all of a sudden they're faced with the reality of redemption, I've had many people on the spot get saved that weren't saved by having this conversation. In and out of church. You need to make sure they're saved because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the person who is saved. It is not for the person who is lost. It's a believer's baptism in the Holy Ghost. Number two, lead them in a simple prayer asking the Lord to baptize them in the Holy Ghost. If David had come down to receive the Holy Ghost, I'd say, pray this to me, say, in Jesus' name, I ask you today, Heavenly Father, I ask you, baptize me in the Holy Ghost and in fire. And you know what happens? Often that's it. That prayer is enough for them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Many times I've never gotten to a point of laying hands on them, but that's part of the mechanics. What did he just do? He just asked in faith. He just fulfilled what Luke said. You ask the Father, and what will he do? He will give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. Turn to somebody and smile and say, this is part of your ministry. Come on, say it bold. This is part of your ministry. Number three, lay hands on them and simply say, receive the Holy Ghost. How long after you confess Christ did it take for you to be saved? It works the same way. Religion taught you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And sometimes what you don't understand is during the wait, you're dealing with doubt and fear and unbelief and bad doctrine and things choking the Word of God. And once that's clear, then there's a path to receive. But there's no reason that a born-again person who is right with God can't receive and receive quickly. Folks asked John Osteen one time, said, how come it seems that so many people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost after midnight rather than before? He said, that's easy. They believe after midnight. He was always really deep. That's what's so precious about his ministry. Amen. Do you know this is for everybody? I remember hearing a story about Brother Osteen being invited to preach to a bunch of priests, cardinals, monsignors, because they were hungry for the Holy Ghost. What an opportunity, amen? What a story that must have been. So you lay hands on them, and you do so in faith. And at that moment, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then number four, you encourage them to vocalize what they have received in terms of their prayer language. Because when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, according to Scripture, Acts chapter 2 is explicit. Acts chapter 10 is explicit. Acts chapter 19 is explicit. Paul's baptism, we know by inferring that he received as well. And something caught a hold of the sorcerer when he was willing to pay money. And he wasn't paying money because somebody got a goosebump.
That's right.
They received. And so what happens is you're encouraging them to vocalize. Say, not just this side of the coin, but the other side of the coin. Now it's about somebody else. And you are actually encouraging them to vocalize. It's not coming from their mental faculties. It's coming from their spirit.
Amen.
And it's supernatural. And at that time of baptism, they have the ability to do so. Sometimes they'll manifest right there. Sometimes they'll get alone with God somewhere else, especially if it was a group setting. And they'll begin to praise and begin to honor God. And God will begin to move in their life. Don't get legalistic about that. But if there seems to be a block when you're praying for somebody, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. For me, there was some bitterness in my heart about some things. And by the Holy Ghost, my sister identified that, and I dealt with that, and that was the only block I had. That's the only thing that stopped me, and I haven't stopped since. Say, Pastor, how come... blunt here, and this has nothing to do with feelings I have about any church organization or even those within like precious faith like ours. I'm telling you, as I stand here today, few churches are taught to flip the coin. Few are even led into the baptism themselves these days. When I originally did doctoral work in the era of the Holy Spirit, only 14% of the converts in the Assemblies of God were receiving the Holy Ghost. And that's a Pentecostal church. So what number of that 14% do you think has flipped the coin?
Right.
No, they're waiting for the evangelist and the apostle and the prophet and the missionary to do it. Well, guess what? You are the sent ones.
That's right.
Ananias was what? Sent. Not as an apostle, as a disciple. And God is wanting to send you.
Amen.
Wherever you are.
In
your graciousness and in your humility and the knowledge that you have to flip the coin and tell somebody else. You say, well, why us? You're going to have to ask him that.
Right.
Ask yourself a question. Are you here today?
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're here and you're alive.
Yeah.
You've been drafted. It's draft day at the harbor. You've been drafted. No. Oh, yes. He came here today to get a boatload of Ananias.
Praise the Lord.
And send them out, disciples full of the Holy Ghost, to share this with somebody else. And don't be surprised when not only do they receive the Holy Ghost, but there's healings that take place and miracles that take place and deliverances that take place as you minister. Because you can't get a big dose of the Holy Ghost without something else being impacted. Amen. Why is he such a great example? Because Ananias did not have an office in the church.
That's right. He was scared.
He was no apostolic. He was no prophetic. He was a disciple, and he was scared. But you know what? God hasn't given you a spirit of fear.
That's right.
The worst thing somebody's going to say to you is, so you're one of those charismatic nuts.
Yes.
I doubt that what he was facing, you're facing. A certain threat of imprisonment and death by a man who's gone rogue, doing God a favor and service, persecuting the church. That's what was in Ananias' mind. You and I don't face that. I said, you and I don't face that. Maybe they don't like you, they don't understand you. But here's the deal. We have been taught, just like only God uses certain people with a gift, or he'll only use somebody like an apostle, we've also been taught, listen carefully, they don't want to hear what I have. It's a lie from the pit of hell. They do. But you've been taught they don't.
That's right.
Just like a lot of people, oh, I don't want to hear about that Christ stuff. You'd be amazed how many people do want to hear about the Lord these days.
Yeah,
exactly. Amen. And Mike with Netcasters, that leading to Jesus, but they ought to be getting baptized in the Holy Ghost out there as well.
Amen.
And empowered to know that God wants to use you, whoever you are, in that ministry. Amen. Say, God can use anyone that'll be filled and available. And what? And obedient. Say, I'm available and I'm obedient. I'm ready. I'm on the active ready. So, you know, sometimes in doing this ministry, and, you know, don't feel bad if you've never heard somebody tell you that you're supposed to be leading other people into the baptism. I understand that. There only a few church ministries that would even do that. But to have a specific direction from God to discharge you and dismiss you in this ministry and basically draft you in and empower you, that's what God wants to do today.
Amen.
And I'm convinced that's what's going to happen. The only thing that I ask you is that you share what God is doing. Is it wonderful to lead somebody personally to Jesus?
Yes.
It's amazing. But what you don't know, it's also amazing to lead somebody into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a reminder of the supernatural power of God and just how good he is, that he's alive and well. 12 disciples from Ephesus went on to build, with the help of people like Timothy, a mega church in the old world. Anybody here know of any church that's over 300,000 people in the world? South Korea. There's one in South America that runs about 100,000. We're talking back in the early church days. That's how powerful the Holy Ghost actually is. Amen. So then the question is, you know, is that something you're ready to receive? And everybody in this room is, you know, you're on your own path spiritually. Nobody's being forced to do anything. But there are people in this room that are hungry to flip that coin. And you should have the opportunity to receive from him an Ananias anointing. Is there anybody here that wants an Ananias anointing? I want you to stand to your feet if you would. Thank you, Father. Why don't you just lift a hand and say, Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for all you've done in me. How can I thank you enough for my salvation? Lord, you saved me. You delivered me. You healed me. You restored me. How can I thank you enough? I also say, Father, thank you for revealing to me the Spirit-filled life. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that that ministry invaded my life, changed me forever, empowered me for life, for service, and to be a witness. Lord, by faith, I receive every teaching on the charismatic lens. It's now part of my fiber. It's now part of my foundation, and I'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. But Lord, I understand that's only one side of the coin. What you did for me is one thing. What's done for others by the power of the Spirit through me is the other side. I hear the call. I don't have a vision, but I can read the word. You're looking for those like Ananias, they can be dispatched. They can share the good things that God's done in them. I ask you today, let that anointing of an Ananias fall on me. His courage, his boldness, his obedience, his action, his faith to step out and be used. Not just be filled himself, but to help others. I say like Isaiah, here am I, send me. This is now part of my mission, leading people to Christ, witnessing, but also leading them into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is my faith. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Now here's what I receive, and I just have learned just to do what I'm told to do. And how can I say this politely? I just don't care anymore. I'm going to do what he tells me to do because I'm answerable, you know, when I don't. And those of you who've been pressing in terms of spiritual gifts, you need to feel the same way. You're here to please God. Say we ought to please God and not man. So Your faith is there. You're actively ready. This is about where you're at in the Lord as we begin to pray in just a moment. But if this is really something that's risen up in your spirit today, and that's the cry of your heart, you want that Ananias anointing on your life. I'm going to ask you just to come to this altar and just come here just like this and just lift your hands up, palm up like that, and get into a receiving mode. And do it now, do it quickly if that's you. And understand what you're doing. You're volunteering. Steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if you can, just make one single line all the way across if you can, just right next to each other. So anybody that wants to can get in here. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name, Lord. How many know that when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee," he wasn't bragging. It was just a matter of a statement. He didn't do it. God gave it to him in terms of understanding, in terms of revelation, as he gives his people. But this particular operation, the ministry of the baptism, is all about yielding to him. Amen. But I do understand, too, that there are levels of revelation in terms of operating in these things. And it's always been something that's operated in my life. And as a pastor, I'm asking God to give you that anointing. Not a gift. It's part of our mandate. When I come by and I lay my hands on top of yours, I want you to receive. And you walk out of here understanding that power that's in you, the Holy Ghost, can be released into helping somebody else in a supernatural way. So I want you to worship and stay in this altar until I've laid my hands on yours. Do exactly what God has prescribed me to do. But you receive by faith. All over this altar, say this out loud. Say, "These hands are the hands of the Lord. They're for His use. From now on, when He prompts me to lay hands on those who need the Holy Ghost, I'll respectfully, humbly, diligently, and obediently comply. I turn these hands over to Him for His glory. Thank you, Father, for that anointing. In Jesus' name."